Our next talk will be about trackers in the internet. I think everybody here is very much aware that there are websites primarily dealing in user data gained by tracking users on and across websites. And one thing we could aim to do is to track those trackers right back at them, to find out what they're doing, whom they are tracking, and where. And we are going to hear a talk about that by Sam right now.
Thank you. So my name is Sam Macbeth. I'm a developer at Clix. We're a browser and search company with a strong focus on privacy, and that's what I work on, the anti-tracking technology. We also acquired Ghostry this year, which you may know is another privacy extension aimed at countering online tracking. And yeah, this talk is about tracking the trackers, so measuring online tracking and mitigating against it. And this is based on a paper we published last year at WWW conference. This paper contained two main parts. The first was a large study based on German users of tracking on the web. So in the wild, what trackers are seen, where, who are they, and what are they doing. So part of this presentation, I'm going to present an up-to-date version of those results. The second part was a new approach we had to countering this online tracking. If you saw Konark's presentation earlier, we're working on an approach around removing user identifiers and preventing record linkage. The final part of my talk will be about bringing transparency. So we have this data about what's happening with online tracking and where, and we want to make that more open so everyone can see what is happening, how they're being tracked, and where. Okay, so first, what does our data tell us about tracking? Well, this is data from last month. If we look at users browsing in mostly in Germany, we have data from 103 million page loads, and we see that only 5% of the pages you load have no trackers in them. Then we have the next big group is 27%. There is a known tracker present, but we didn't see actual tracking happening, so there wasn't a cookie or a fingerprint. But then we have the 68% of the web where you're being tracked by someone. So most people in this room will be aware of this, that there's lots of tracking happening. If we look at another angle on this, when I'm getting tracked, how many people are tracking me? So first we have this zero that we saw. This is when I load a page, then nobody tracked me. But as we go up, we see that there's over 10 different companies tracking in 10% of the pages that you load. So in these cases, it's totally out of control. Your data is going to, in some cases, over 100 different companies just when you load one page. But who is it who is doing the tracking? So this is, again, from the same data set. Firstly, Google are just insane. Almost 80% of web traffic of pages that are loaded will send a request to a Google server. Then obviously Facebook are fairly high, nearly 30%, and Amazon at 18 or so. The first thing to note is that, okay, half of these companies people have heard of. People know about Google, people know about Facebook. But there's also companies collecting lots of user data, and nobody knows about these people. Do people know who Info Online are, who Criteo are, who AppNexus is? So this is kind of hidden from us. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. So you may have seen this graphic before. This is an attempt to illustrate the logos of all of the companies in the marketing and tracking ecosystem. So we have mobile, native ads, lots of different sections here. There's about 4,000 companies in this image. And all of these are also in this tracking ecosystem. Our data shows that over 500 different companies collect more than 0.1% of web traffic. Okay, so quickly, so we've kind of painted the picture, the data shows that tracking is everywhere, but what are we actually talking about when we talk about tracking? So we define it like this. So firstly, it's a third party. So when I visit example.com, for there to be a tracker there, it must be on a different domain to example.com, because it's clear from a transparency perspective that when I'm on this site that they are accessing some, so they know that I'm there, but the third parties are not, it's not so clear. Secondly, it has to be on multiple different sites. So this is that it's reaches beyond one single website, it can start collecting your browsing across multiple different sites. And the most important part is that they must transmit a user identifier. So this can be a cookie or a browser fingerprint or a network fingerprint. And this is allowing them to link these things together. So if a third party meets this definition, it means they're effectively able to collect a subset of your browsing history under this pseudonymous user identifier. Okay, so we've seen what the data says about tracking, but what is the experience? Do we, when we're browsing the web, do we expect tracking in certain places and not in others? And do we have a gut feeling about how much tracking you get in various kinds of sites? So I want to just go through a few examples of pages you might visit, what most people are doing on the web, and talk a bit about how much tracking you see on those examples. So we'll start with a very simple one. A lot of people read news on the web. So you might visit a website like Focus.de. Here we have some adverts in the page. So we know advertising has lots of trackers, so we'd expect quite a few trackers here, right? So if I use Ghostery to tell me which trackers are here, we get 36 trackers. So we have a few different sections here. There's advertising, the site analytics, and lots of different companies. Why do we need so many companies on this page? The answer is ad tech. So if I want to show a display ad on my page, I need to get an advertising network to decide which ad should be placed here. So here they have DoubleClick on the left, which is the Google ad server. And what they'll do is they'll call various other third parties in this bidding process, which decides which ad is shown to me on this page. And lots of these also want to load their script in the page to check certain things, to check their tracking data on the user, decide whether this is someone they want to target. You also get other entities like Criteo here. They do retargeting. So they load their script, they check the cookie, and they see if you visited some other page from someone they want to offer retargeting for. Okay, so that was not so surprising that there's lots of trackers on these kind of sites. So the next thing we might do is we might do some online shopping. So if I go to Zalando and just look at something on there. So this time we're not seeing any display ads. There's nothing in the page which is indicating that there would be a tracker here. But there's still 25 trackers. So why is this the case? Well, this is the other side of the advertising ecosystem. So if I'm Zalando and I want to advertise somewhere, I want to measure if that advertising is successful. So that means that I have to tell, so the ad network will give me a script I can put in my page, and they say, okay, if someone clicks on your ad, we get the signal that they arrived on your page, and we can see whether they converted, whether they bought something at the end. And this is a way of quantifying the advertising spend. This includes people like Facebook advertising. You get a Facebook Connect one here, so it's also telling Facebook that you're shopping on this site and what for. So the second part of why they put these pixels here is also for their own targeting. So if they want to target people who are not users or have not visited Zalando before, they can use these tracking pixels in order to build groups that they want to exclude from advertising or include in advertising. And there are also other more shocking examples in shopping. So you would think certain things you shop for are a bit more sensitive than others. So if I go to Apotheker Day and look for a pregnancy test, then this is also being tracked by 16 trackers, including Facebook. So this is then sensitive data which is being leaked through for a very mundane reason, just in order to better serve adverts. So another example which perhaps is more relevant to this audience, so we like to read tech blogs to see what people are publishing about stuff. So last week I went to Hacker News, clicked on the first thing, which was the crack attack on WPA. So this is just a site, you know, technical site published by a university explaining a security attack. So we wouldn't expect that they need any kind of tracking on this site. But again, we have three trackers. So they have Google Analytics and also DoubleClick for some reason. So this is, again, another data point that can be used for targeting. So actually, I think the reason why they have the DoubleClick is that there's an extension, a plugin you can have for Google Analytics, which allows you to put demographic data onto your Google Analytics charts. And they've included this. This kind of points that we have a bit of a cultural issue here that people see. So even the people writing this website, they see nothing wrong with just throwing a few third-party scripts on their page and selling, basically giving this information to ad networks. I have a couple more examples. So this is a study we did last year on online banking. So online banking is an industry which is heavily regulated, for one thing, and has a high requirement of security. A bank can't simply tell some third party that you have an account with them without various processes being upheld. But when we go to the login page of this is ingdiba.at, we see a tracker from WebTrek, which is kind of similar to Google Analytics tracker. So the fact that I'm visiting a login page of a bank is a fairly strong indication that I'm a customer there. So they might not be tracking after login, but they've already leaked enough to say that I'm probably a customer. One last thing we do online is that we might research things. So we want to find out what political parties are up to, what they say about themselves, for example. This is a more recent little study we did on the Austrian political parties. And it turns out almost all of them have loads of trackers on their homepage. So when you visit, this is FPÖ. We have 19 trackers here. So including, again, DoubleClick, Facebook, and several others. So if we take with Facebook, for example, this is being added onto your Facebook profile as another signal which you can be targeted, so what your political activities are. So we've seen here that even so the stats are fairly alarming, but also when you go through concrete cases, it's also pretty bad. But what's the problem with tracking? So I have three main arguments why it's a bad thing in its current state. So the first is transparency. As we saw, most of these pages, there was no indication that some data was being sent to a third party. In some cases, there are privacy policies that will state certain ones, or certain specific third parties. But particularly when ad tech is involved, they will never state all of them. And actually, you have to rely on third-party tools to tell you who they are. In this respect, actually, the big players like Google and Facebook are the best in terms of transparency because they actually show you what they have, kind of. So if you dig deep into Facebook, you can find your privacy or your advert preferences. And here they have a section to say who you visited. So this is where they should tell you which sites they managed to track you on. And you can delete that data. The other point with transparency is we often have this problem, who runs this tracker? So I load some page and data is sent to 30 or 40 different domains. And you want to try and map these to a company who runs this, who is collecting this data. And then you can perhaps look up a privacy policy and see what's going on there. But we have lots of examples where we can't find out who these people are. If we take one example, this is a domain, exosrv.com. This is, so our data shows it's on 1.8% of pages loaded, primarily adult sites. So this is a reasonably large company in terms of how much data they're collecting. So we wanted to find out who they are, so we try to load this domain in a browser, and they just give us a blank page. I loaded this main one because if you try to load just the plain domain, that doesn't even have a DNS record. Okay, so they don't have a home page, but do they have a Whois record? Well, it's private. So then you're kind of stuck. It's like, who are these guys? Luckily, we have data from the Ghostly database, which tells us that it's ExoClick, which is an ad network. But there is no transparency, and it's as if they're trying to hide their presence. The second issue with tracking. So, saw in the presentation earlier from Konark that if you build a linked history of user of URLs a user has browsed, it is inevitable that this can be de-anonymized eventually. So as I said, given the tracker definition we gave, these trackers are collecting subsets of browsing history. And these can be de-anonymized. So this is a paper from this year, which just cross-correlated a history with social network postings and was able to de-anonymize most of the users. Likewise, at CCC, in December, there was this presentation. This was based on data collected from extensions. But the concept is the same. You look for certain URLs which leak the identity of the user. And in this work, they found several German politicians from the Bundestag and went to visit them with their browsing history. So the final issue is one of security. So if I'm loading a load of third-party scripts into my page, I'm giving full access to everything there. And there's a lot of security implications that come with that. And we've seen lots of negative effects from this, particularly with ad networks, because often they're not auditing the code that they end up loading in people's pages, and then you get these things like malvertising, or recently Bitcoin miners being loaded in popular web pages. So theoretically, if I want to run a secure site like a bank, I need to audit all these third parties. And also, the weakest link in the security of the site will be the weakest one of the trackers. So it doesn't really make sense to just allow all this access. Okay, so that was a bit of the background about where you're being tracked and why it's a bad thing. How can an individual protect themselves against this tracking? So the first one, the one you probably know, and you probably all use extensions that do this kind of thing, is block things. So you can take an extension like uBlock, you can turn on maximum blocking, just block everything. And this works quite well, because if you block a request to a tracker, then it's pretty obvious that they're not going to be able to track you. And also, it speeds things up, because So the web loads faster because you're loading a tiny fraction of the content. So for one, if you take a lot of news sites, some of them are taking over 10 megabytes of content once you get all the ads and all the code for that. And then with ad blocking or tracker blocking, it goes down to one or two. But you have the problem that the web breaks a lot. So you get things like this. So it says with an ad blocker, you can't use the site anymore. So then we get this problem that people who want to continue to use these things, they have to allow little gaps in their protection just for these cases. So you'll turn off certain filters in order to give yourself access. But this is then compromising your privacy. And the other problem with this approach is that someone has to make this block list to decide who is getting blocked and who is not getting blocked. And this is a process which is slow. So a human has to see this tracker and decide whether to block them or not, add them to a list. And it's always going to be slower than companies can change, for example, script names or buy new domain names. So we have another alternative proposal to protect from tracking. And this is based on stripping user identifiers. So I said before that we define a tracker requires a user identifier, which can link requests. What if we just take away these user identifiers so these histories cannot be linked anymore? So if we take an example, we have two users here, user A, user B, and they're both visiting two websites. And we'll say, for the example, all the websites have this same tracker, tracker X, in common. If I'm tracker X and I want to track these users, well, there's a couple of different ways I can do it. The first one is I give a cookie to the user, which they then send back to me. And this way I can link this one. I also give a different cookie to user B. Because this is a user identifier, then we can detect it and we can simply block these. So the first part of this system is blocking third-party cookies so that this can't be used as a user identifier. But the next thing they can do, as we've seen before, is they can build some kind of fingerprinting technology or send some data from the browser, which is unique to the browser. So let's take an example here. We have three parameters. One is UID, one is CID, and one is VER. Now the problem is we have to work out which of these would be a user identifier. If I'm user A, I can look at these two requests I made and say, okay, in both requests there was UID, was the same value, CID was different, and VER was the same. So I can first say that CID would not be a good user identifier because if it's different both times, then it's not going to be able to link anything together. So I can count that out. But then between UID and VER, I can't really tell. Like they might be they could be a user identifier, but I can't tell without more knowledge, so more global system knowledge. User B has the same problem. But if we factored in the global system state, we can see that VER is also the same for the other user, but UID is different. So based on this, we can work out that UID is the user identifier, and we can remove that from the requests. And this way, the linkage is removed, and the tracker is unable to link these visits from each user. How can we implement that as an anti-tracking system? Well, what we can do is we can send data that will allow us to work out which values are shared among lots of users and which not. So let's take from that the data that was sent, user A could package this up in a series of messages. So he takes a timestamp up to an hour level, Also a hash of what tracker it was and a hash of the data we sent. And you can send these all individually because they're independent messages. And user B can do the same. And now it's fairly trivial. We have this data from our users, but it doesn't contain any user identifier. But we can, because the client is imposing the constraint that they will only send one of these tuples for a particular time window, we can then do a simple count on the server side and say these ones reach some quorum. So with just two users, we'd have a quorum of two, but in our actual system, we can have a much higher quorum, so we're much more confident that this is a value which is shared among lots of users and therefore is safe. So a bit of an outlook on protection. There's this trade-off between site breakage and protection. So if you break the web too much, then actually a lot of users will turn off their protection and then you don't gain anything in the long run. So we try to develop this method which allows things to continue working, so the request will go out, but we don't, and that means we don't break the pages, but we prevent this record linkage. In terms of what to recommend against tracking, the first thing is that actually blocking third-party cookies will mitigate almost 90% of tracking cases. Second tip is to be wary of just ad blockers, because they have, because it's a binary thing. So a blocker will either allow or will block, but often allow is with third-party cookies, and then you're tracked on those ones. So even with the privacy list available, ad blocker is not as comprehensive protection as you can get from specific anti-tracking tools. The other thing I'll say is that Ghostry 8 was being released in November, which is now combining the previous block list approach with this UID removal. And also Privacy Badger is very good in this regard because its heuristics are good at blocking cookies and deciding the right time to block requests without breaking things too much. Okay. So now this is the last part, and I want to introduce a project we've been working on aimed at this transparency issue. So this is bringing the data that we have about tracking and where it's happening into a public place and opening up the data about it so people can look at what's going on from a global perspective and research a bit and learn a bit about it. So this website aims to show you the state of tracking based on our data. So this is primarily from German users. It's going to tell you who are the companies running these trackers when we have it. And also you're going to see which of the sites that you visit are the worst for tracking. Okay, so I'll quickly switch to the browser. I can get my mouse over. Okay. So there's a few different parts of the site we want to show. So we have trackers, website, and a blog. So there is an educational aspect we want to have to explain what's happening with tracking, and also introduce the kind of studies we've done into for example, banking and politics. If we go to the trackers page, so here we give kind of an overview of who all the trackers are. We have the top 500 listed here, and some of the overall stats you'll see. If we quickly go and look at what it looks like, what the information on the tracker looks like. So here in the top left, you can see we say who owns this. So Google Analytics is obviously owned by Google. And then on the left, you see what domain they run under. So this is google-analytics.com. This is part of this idea that we can, if you are looking at some random domain you saw a third-party call to, or saw you have a cookie from this, you can look it up here, and it will tell you who it is. Then we have two different measures of reach. So the first is based on web traffic. So when you're, so this is just an aggregate of all the pages loaded by users. So you'd say here this 44% number is that 44 of 100 pages loaded by an average user. So this is weighted for popularity of site and this kind of thing. The other number is the proportion of different sites. So Google Analytics has a much higher number for this than the traffic reach, and this is because it is present on lots of sites, but not so much on the popular sites. We also say what type of tracking we see them using. So we see fingerprinting on Google Analytics. And then if I scroll down, we can also see what sites it appears on. So here you can get a quick overview if this tracker is on sites that you use. You can filter by different categories to see if they're prevalent in certain types of site and not in others. The other tracker we talked about earlier was Criteo. And here you see kind of an opposite relationship on the reach. So Criteo is mostly on popular sites. And likewise, you can see a slightly different kind of map of which sites they're on. And I'll quickly show also the websites. We have also top 500 websites based on our data. And you can see kind of a number saying how many trackers on average they have. We can quickly look at the sites we saw from before. So Focus.de has an average 33.6 trackers. So actually we did quite well when we loaded it because we got fewer than that. And we also have this stat of what proportion of pages had tracking on them, because sites has many different pages on it, and some of them will have more tracking, some will have less. If they have a YouTube widget some places, that will count as more tracking, for example. And then a kind of relationship to see what trackers they're on from what category, and also a list of all of them. So you can kind of browse around and see what's going on. Likewise, Zalando, 15.6. And Apotheker, also 14. And ING Diva. Okay. So I'll quickly go back. Okay, so the data for this site is collected from users of the Clix browser extension. So obviously it's important that we do that correctly so that we're not compromising their privacy in order just to show you how your privacy is being violated elsewhere. So firstly, this data is collected for a reason. So firstly, our system needs to know who the trackers are in order to run this algorithm on them to know whether to block data or not, and also to monitor that this is all running correctly and we're not breaking things and this kind of thing. So what we do is this is sending information about every page that's loaded by a user and the third-party calls made there. But the first challenge is to prevent message linkage between these messages. So the first-party domains domain is obfuscated, and also the path. So you only see the third parties. This means that only for popular sites we can see, we can reverse this hash on the first party. So only domains I already know about can be reversed. Also, don't collect anything about URL paths, because these can be used identifiers. And actually, the message only counts. So we have counters on certain signals we expect to see. We also transmit this data via a proxy network, which means that our collector node cannot see the IP address of who is sending, and we couldn't do an IP linkage. Final step is to make sure there's no PII, personal identifiable information, in these messages. So like I said, we're hashing the host name and path. So if you were visiting a private page, if it was like a private Dropbox link or something, it's not possible for us to reverse this hash and find out what it is. If we know that Dropbox exists, we can know that it was a Dropbox page, but we're not going to know what the path was. And you don't just have to take our word for it that it's okay. We have it audited. So in May this year, independent researchers were given a chunk of the data and tried to find a taxon. And there are only very small things that were found, and we've since fixed those. So lastly, a quick schedule about what we want to do with this website. So next month, we're hoping to officially launch it. It's already accessible if you want to play, but it's still a bit rough around the edges. We will open source the site code, also the database of domains and owners. Also, the data that is used to generate the site will be published and opened, and this will be updated every month with new data that we get from our users. In the future, we also want to publish more studies on this, also split by region, because there's some interesting observations about regional tracking to be seen. And then we're also open for any contributions if people find out who trackers are, or if they play with our data and do something interesting with it, we want to see that. Okay, so finally, a bit of an outlook about what's going on with tracking. So there's a couple of different things. It's not looking all so bleak in this space. So firstly, there is regulation. So regulation is looking at this industry and perhaps doing something. We'll see. So there is GDPR and e-privacy, which, depending who you listen to, will either kill the whole industry or won't do anything. But the advertisers are angry about it, which is a positive sign. So that's the first thing that could happen, is that regulation could solve this problem. The second thing, which is something we're also trying to do, is that privacy is becoming something that we have to push as a default. So when we ship a browser, it should have the most private setting implemented. So this is what Apple are doing now with tracking restrictions. And this means that just if the maximum users possible are blocking these tracking methods, then it will no longer be worthwhile to use them. So thank you for listening. Please check out the website. Any questions?
Thank you, Sam. We have a few minutes for questions. I'll come to you with the microphone. So please raise your hand for questions.
All right, thanks for the interesting talk. One question, in most modern browsers, you have on the advanced settings page an item called Tell Sites Not to Track Me.
Yes.
Do you know whether this is honored in any way, or how does this affect the tracking system or the tracking network at all?
Yes, so there is the Do Not Track standard, which is, we can't really know what they do with that. There was also many opt-out standards, so you can go to the sites of a load of these ad companies and then set a special cookie that says I opt out. But the question is whether this is respected or not. We cannot know. So our mentality is that everything that goes out of the browser should already be opted out, essentially. So by removing the user identifier, you're opting out of this targeting. By removing the cookie, you're opting out. And this is a safer way, because then you don't have to trust the other party.
Further questions? OK.
I use an add-on to Firefox that generally blocks all requests to domains that are not the one that I have in my address bar. Mm-hmm. The only thing it has is it has a whitelist of domains that belong to the same owner, like the different Facebook or Google domains or whatever.
Yep.
Do you think that that does help in any way against this tracking?
Yes, it probably helps quite a lot, but So there's kind of a scale here. So you're willing to put up with the fact that by blocking all this stuff, also things will stop working, right? If there's a widget in the site, if it's you're on the site of a restaurant and they have a widget to allow you to book a table, this is provided by some third party, and this will not work if you have this kind of extension. And this is fine. There's a lot of users using this kind of strategy, but this isn't going to work for everyone. So the idea is we're trying to push something at the other end of the spectrum, which is like privacy by default, which enables you to have this privacy and this protection, but without breaking the experience, so that things continue to work. But there's many different places on this spectrum for different people who are willing to take a different point in this trade-off.
A last question.
Users or browsers can be tracked by fingerprinting even without getting a UID generated by the browser, just by fingerprinting the environment as it is. So you can't prevent that. If that would be possible, browsers would do that already, I think. So what would you do against that kind of tracking?
So in general, with fingerprinting, the way this approach works against it is that we don't really care how a fingerprint is generated, so they can look at what fonts you installed, what your resolution is, what plugins you have. But at some point, they have to generate an identifier, and they have to pass that in a request. And at that point, you can analyze it when you see it there and say, is it unique or not? So that's kind of how we can protect against this kind of fingerprinting for most cases. There are also a couple of others that we don't have protection for yet, because you can use these cache super cookies, for example, which we haven't looked at yet, but we don't really have much evidence that it is actually happening that much yet. So, but
okay. We'll have to shuffle for the next talks. Thank you, Sam Macbeth.